ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 12. ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ಮಯಾತ್ಮನ ಸುಖಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನಃ. ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ಮಯಾತ್ಮನ ಸುಖಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನಾಂ. ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ಮಯಾತ್ಮನ ಸುಖಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನಾಂ. ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನಾಂ. ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸುಖಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನ. ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನ. ಮತಜಿಸ್ ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತಾತ್ಮನ ಸಭ್ಯ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವತಃ ನಿರಾತ್ಮನ ಸುಖಂ ಯತ್ತತ್ ಕುತಃ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ವಿಷಯಾತ್ಮನ. ವಾಟ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಇನ್ ಮೀ ಅರ್ಪಿತ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಆಫ್ ವನ್ ಹೂಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಸಭ್ಯ ಓ ಲರ್ನರ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ನಿರಪೇಕ್ಷಸ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ವನ್ ಬಿರೆಫ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ ಸರ್ವತಃ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಮಯಾ ವಿತ್ ಮೀ ಆತ್ಮನ with the supreme personality of Godhead or with one's own spiritual body. Sukham, happiness, yat tat, such, kutah, how, syat, could it be, vishaya, in material sense gratification, atmanam, of those who are attached. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. Purport. The actual purport of Vedic knowledge is explained in this verse. The word Vishaya Atmana includes those who are cultivating material peace of mind, self-control and speculative philosophy. But even if such persons rise to the platform of Sattva Guna, the mode of goodness, they do not attain perfection because Sattva Guna being material is also part and parcel of Maya or illusion. As stated by Sri Narad Muni, Kimva Yogena Sankhena न्यास स्वाध्यायोर अपि किंवा श्रेयोभिर अन्येश्चै नयत्रात्म प्रदो हरि. द सुप्रीम पर्सनल ऑफ गॉडहेड इज नॉट इंक्लाइंड टू अवॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ इवन टू वन हु एग्जीक्यूट्स द योगा सिस्टम, स्पेक्युलेटिव फिलोसफी, द रेनाउंस्ड ऑर्डर ऑफ लाइफ और वैदिक स्टडीज. इंडीड नो सो कॉल्ड मटीरियली ऑस्पिशियस प्रोसेस कैन इंड्यूस द लॉर्ड टू रिवील हिमसेल्फ. भागवतम 4:31-12. अकॉर्डिंग टू श्रीधर स्वामी, वन एंजॉयज द हैप्पीनेस स्पोकन ऑफ इन दिस वर्स वाइल एसोसिएटिंग इन वन्स ओन स्पिरिचुअल बॉडी विद द सुप्रीम ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड. द लॉर्ड्स ट्रांसेंडेंटल फॉर्म इज फिल्ड विद इनफिनाइट वंडरफुल क्वालिटीज एंड द हैप्पीनेस ऑफ बींग विद द लॉर्ड इज अनलिमिटेड. अनफॉर्चुनेटली materialistic people cannot possibly imagine such happiness since they are not at all inclined to love the supreme personality of Godhead. Om agyanati mirandhas gyananjana shalaka chakshurun militam yena tasmay shri gurve namah shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः. ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने, नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरतिषे नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण. सीक योर ब्लेसिंग्स टू स्पीक समथिंग ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम टुडेज वर्स. प्लीज बेयर विद माय थ्रोट, इट हैज सम इश्यूज. इन द एंड ऑफ द sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, after speaking in the previous chapters about Dhyan Yoga, then Gyan Yoga, and later about Ashtanga Yoga, finally he culminates the essence of all the yogas in this verse by saying that Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yoma समय युक्त तमो मतः. सो कृष्णा सेज दैट ऑफ ऑल द योगीज हु विद ग्रेट फेथ हु ऑलवेज अबाइड्स इन मी एंड थिंक्स ऑफ मी विद इन हिमसेल्फ एंड रेंडर्स डिवोशनल सर्विस अन टू मी इज मोस्ट इंटीमेटली यूनाइटेड टू मी इन योगा एंड ही इज द हाइएस्ट ऑफ ऑल. दैट इज माई ओपिनियन. सो दिस इज हाउ कृष्णा इंट्रोड्यूसेस द process of devotional service in Gita through this verse. And in the next verse, which is the beginning of the 7th chapter, Krishna again stresses more elaborately on this aspect by saying that maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjam madashrayah asamshayam samagramma yatha gyasachita shrunu. Here also Krishna introduces one important aspect of devotional service, which is the fundamental beginning for the process of Krishna consciousness. So here Krishna says that How by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, and there is no doubt. For that, you hear. This process of hearing is being introduced in this chapter. Then gradually Krishna goes on to describe about the opulences in which he has manifested in this universe. Mattam parataram natnyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. So here Krishna explains that all these living entities and all the universes, they are like pearls, and I am the unseen thread which is trying to bind all the living entities of this universe. Then in the future verses in this chapter, he explains about how there are four categories of people who never surrendered unto him, and then there are four categories of people who try to come to Krishna. Finally, he concludes this chapter by saying that Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta Eko Bhaktir Visishyate Priyo Hi Gyaninam Tyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. So here Krishna tells that one is full knowledge and is always engaged in my pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. So here in this verse Krishna is describing about one who has fixed his knowledge, his mind, everything into me, is very dear to me, and I am also very dear to him. So this concept of being dear to Krishna and being Krishna dear to us is very much correlating to today's verse. In the word-to-word translation about this word Atmanah, so I was sharing with one devotee and he was briefing me that this Atmana can be referred to as Ishta or Ishtadev, because when the Lord becomes very dear to a devotee, he becomes an worshipable object for that devotee. So, and he correlates with that Ishta as his own personal possession. So let's try to see something on this concept of Ishta or Ishtadev. We'll all have been connected to Shri Radha Gopinath ji for so many years. And we may think that Radha Gopinath ji is our Ishtadev. Yes, while doing whatever activity in our day-to-day life, we are still connected to Radha Gopinath ji. We have been thinking of him always. We are supposed to, whether we are doing it or not, it's a different issue. We are supposed to be thinking of him. We are supposed to be dovetailing all our activities for their pleasure. So this word Ishta is referred as something which is very dear and pleasing to one. Like suppose we go and watch a cricket match which is happening these days, and we have some favorite cricket player or a batsman there who is going to bat now. So our full consciousness is fixed on him. As soon as he walks into the playground, every ball, every movement is completely focused on how he plays. So for that period of time, till he is on the crease, he is our Ishtadev. Once he is gone, he is out, our mind is also completely out. Similarly, a boy and a girl, they have some infatuation, some attraction towards each other. So for each other, they both are their Ishtadev. They worship them in their heart, their mind. That is why Krishna, in the 9th chapter, we'll come back to that later also. He says, Man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So there also, not externally but internally, Krishna's mood is that, please make me your Ishtadev. Please worship me. Because Krishna is not in want of any kind of service, not in want of any kind of familiarity or some kind of fame which we can provide to him. He already has 6 opulences. He is the most famous, most knowledgeable, most wealthy, most strengthful, renunciate and beautiful. So nothing is that which we can add to his glory. Just by being in touch with him, we receive a lot of glory. Like Shripad Madhvendrapuri, when he got connected to Sri Gopal, his glory increased because he was serving Sri Gopalji. On his order, he had gone to Jagannathpuri to fetch Chandan. So when a devotee comes in touch with the Supreme Lord, he is glorified. Not that the Lord has to be glorified because he is in touch with the devotee. Of course, sometimes the Lord also takes humble position, as in the same pastime, the Lord himself was very much happy to be known as Khir Chor Gopinath, a thief. Even in the Vaikuntha planets, we see that there are millions and millions of Lakshmi Devi who all are eager to serve Krishna there. So Krishna is not in want of any servant, any service, or anything from anyone in this material world. But still, Krishna is only hankering for a devotee's love, his devotion. And also, Krishna doesn't speak anything which he himself cannot do. In the 18th chapter again, Krishna reiterates that, Ishto sime dhidam iti tato vakshami tehitam. Here Krishna mentions that, I myself fix my consciousness on my devotees. He says to Arjuna that, I am speaking the supreme instruction to you because you are very dear devotee of mine. You are just my worshipable object. Even in the various pastimes in Mahabharata, the Lord's mind was completely focused on what his devotees' needs were, what the devotees' wants were. If we consider the pastimes which happened through throughout their life with the Pandavas, everywhere Krishna's mind was completely with the Pandavas. Whether it was Lakshagraha, like Kunti Maharani praised that Bhima was fed poison, then we were trapped in the gambling match, Draupadi was disrobed, Ashwatthama later attacked the womb of Uttara. So all throughout these instances, my Lord, you were there with us, protecting us. So when Abhimanyu was killed and Arjuna took a vow that he will kill Jayadrath the next day before sunset, and after taking that vow, Arjuna went and he was in a sound sleep, but Krishna could not sleep the whole night because he was in complete anxiety that how will I manipulate things tomorrow, the whole day in the war field, so that Arjuna could fulfill his promise. Or else Arjuna has taken a vow that he will enter into fire. Somehow Krishna devised a plan and successfully Jayadrath was killed. Krishna has also taken a vow that he will not lift any weapons in the battlefield. But when Bhima came charging over Arjuna, what happened? Krishna has to take the wheel of the broken chariot and march towards Bhishma to attack him. That is why he got a beautiful name, Rathangapani, Chakrapani. So the Lord is not bothered about his own vows when it comes to protecting his devotees, taking care of devotees. So as the Lord is completely engrossed in the thoughts of his devotees, he also to some extent expects that his devotees also are completely engrossed in his thoughts. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, again Krishna reiterates this point that Ananya Sintayanto Mam Je Jana Pariupasate Tesham Nityavi Yuktanam Yogakshem Bahamyam. When one is engrossed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, the Lord says that all his yoga and shema I will take care, all his welfare I will take care. Again in the 18th chapter also he says Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Ahantum Sarvapapebhyo Moksha Hishyami Ma Suchaha. You don't worry, I'll take care of you. Then he says, Yat Karoshi Rashnashi Yas Jyosi Tadasi Yat Yat Tapasyasi Kauntere Tat Kurushu Mad Arpanam. So, Krishna is regularly, continuously going to reiterate this aspect in the 9th chapter in Gita, where he is speaking about the glories of devotional service. So whatever you do, yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, whatever you eat, yat juhoshi, whatever you offer, and yat tapasyasi, whatever austerities you perform, you do it as an offering to me. This is how Krishna is trying to connect a conditioned living entity through some of his daily activities to the mainstream of devotional service. Then finally he says that not only activities, how you can dovetail your mind and engage in the process of devotional service. Man mana, engage your mind in me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer obeisances to me. Mam evaishis yukta vayam atmanam yatparayanam. So if you completely unite yourself in such a manner with me, then I surely come and take care of you. So there Srila Prabhupada mentions the purport that man mana means just always think of me. So this whole process of devotional service is to train our mind how we can always think of Krishna. Then there is a very beautiful section in the 9th canto of Amrish Maharaja and Durvasa Muni. There is a nice conversation happening there also, where the Lord explains that I reside in devotee's heart, because devotees also invite me into their heart and give residence to me there. So this section of conversation ends with this verse, Sadhavo Hridayam Mayam Sadhunam Hridayam Tva Aham Madhyanyatena Janati Naham Tebhyo Managpi. I reside in devotee's heart and devotees reside in my heart. Apart from them, I don't know anyone, and for them also, apart from me, they don't know anyone else who can give them shelter. So there, in the previous verses of this section, Lord is speaking to Durvasa Muni that Naham Atmane Asashe Mad Bhakti Sadhubir Vina Shriyam Cha Atyantikam Brahman Yesham Gatir Ampara. It means that all the opulences which I enjoy in the Vaikuntha planets, all the transcendental bliss which I attain in my loving exchanges with my devotees, that is only possible if the devotees who are saintly persons are in connection with me, because that is the only destination I have. If the devotees are with me, synced with me, then only I can enjoy opulences, I can experience bliss in this spiritual world. Why? Because these pure devotees, what they have done? They have sacrificed everything for me. Ye dara agara putra apta pranam vittam imam param. So they have given up their homes, their wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply for me. Without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next. The devotees have given up everything, not designing any benefits in this life nor in the other materially. So how can I give up devotees like that who are very rare? They have given everything for me. Isn't it my responsibility to do something for them, to take care of them? That is how the Lord is explaining his heart. And he says, further explains an analogy that as a very chaste wife, she takes care of her husband so nicely, and because of her care and affection, she showers on her husband. The husband is sold out to her. The husband is he comes under the control of that wife because she is serving him with so much of love and devotion. Similarly, when a devotee also serves me in that manner, how is it that I cannot come into their control? So, vashe kurvanti mad bhaktya. My devotees hypnotize me. They keep me under control because of their love and devotion. Further, he also explains that all the four kinds of liberations which in general devotees are destined to receive, salokya, sarupya, sarishtya, and samipya, that also they reject because they don't want any kind of liberation other than being in continuous touch with me, continuously being in my thoughts and in service of me. So if we examine the mood of the Supreme Lord in which he is expressing himself to Durvasa Muni in these verses, we can derive a conclusion that a devotee is always Krishna's ishta. The Lord worships devotee in his their heart. Why is it so? Because a devotee also worships Krishna in their heart. There is a mutual reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees. And also, this kind of reciprocation is possible when there is mutual surrender also. As the devotee surrenders more, Krishna also surrenders himself to his devotee in that manner. Yathamam prapadyante tam satyam bhajami aham. So one whose mind is completely attached to Krishna gets complete attention from Krishna. And Krishna also becomes attached to that particular devotee. So this process of attachment or making someone one's Ishtadev, making Krishna their Ishtadev, is the conclusion of this verse. But again, this basic question arises that how one can make Krishna their Ishtadev. So we know this process of devotional service, bhakti, it begins with the process of chanting and hearing. But more pertinently, it begins with hearing first. We hear and then we chant the glories. But what we will hear? If the Lord has just manifested as Brahman, or he just comes before us in the universal form, which is very difficult even to accept, the mind cannot accept that universal form. Now how is it possible that we can relate to the Supreme Lord, absorb in him? In Brahman, there is completely Brahma Jyoti, there is purely light and nothing else, no activity happening there. So if the Lord doesn't perform any activity, the Lord doesn't provide us some stories. How is it that we can connect to Him? How we can think of Him? So because of this need of devotees, the Supreme Lord performs wonderful, very enchanting, charming pastimes in different rasas also. There are 5 plus 7, 12 rasas, primary and secondary rasas. In all those rasas, the Lord performs different pastimes so that the devotees can churn those pastimes and completely be absorbed on this leelas. So there are few reasons also why the Lord performs His pastimes. In Gita we know that paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So there are three factors which are mentioned here. Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect His devotees. Vinashaya chadushkritam, evil minded, to punish. And dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish religious principles. So these are the external reasons for the descent of the Supreme Lord. There are some internal reasons also why the Lord wants to descend. In Padma Puran, it mentioned that Mad Bhaktanam Vinodartham Karomi Vividha Kriyah. I perform different pastimes to just give pleasure to my devotees. This is one reason. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnaj Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Prema Aswadan, to relish the rasa, the mellow of loving exchanges with His devotees, and Rag Marg Bhakti Pracharan, to inculcate into the practicing devotees this mood of Raga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. These are two causes why Lord Chaitanya Himself appeared. Another reason which is mentioned in the first canto, in the Kunti Maharani prayers, is Tata Paramahansanam Muninam Amalatmana Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham. But again she mentions that how can ladies like us be engaged in such a devotional process. But the main extract of this verse is to give pleasure to devotees, to give them content to relish, is one of the aspects why the Lord appears. And then in the Ras Lila chapters, Anugraha Bhaktana Manusham Deham Ashrita, the Lord accepts human form. Why? Because Bhajate Tadrisha Kridaya Shrutva Tat Paro Bhavet. When the Lord assumes this human like form to show His mercy to His devotees, engages such pastimes which will attract when the devotees hear about His glories. These are the four reasons. One of the four reasons, or many, there will be many more reasons also, why the Lord performs the beautiful pastimes to attract His devotees. So one such pastime also has happened in this whole month of Kartik, which we have been day and night discussing on, hearing about, singing its glories. Because any festival we see in the calendar, right from January till December, all the festivals are maximum celebrated for a day, or maybe 2 or 3 days. Jhulan is celebrated for 5 days. Janmashtami is 2 days for us. Nandotsav and Janmashtami. But this Damodar Leela, the month of Kartik, is the only festival which is celebrated for the whole month. Because it signifies the epitome of the devotion of a devotee as well as the compassion of the Supreme Lord. This entitles the epitome of these two principles. So the story aspect, almost everyone is aware of it. So I thought that we'll discuss some so-called management principles which Mother Yashoda is teaching through this Damodar Leela. So this is an acronym. If someone wants to note, they can note it down, Yashoda. So this whole pastime begins with Sukadeva Goswami narrating that Ekada Griha Dasishu Yashoda Nandagehini Karmantra Niyuktasya Nirmamanta Swayam Dadhi. So this was the day of Diwali, and all the maid servants, they were engaged in their respective duties. So Mother Yashoda thought there are so many festive arrangements to be made after this. So let me first get involved in churning butter for my sweetheart Krishna. So this is Mother Yashoda's yearning. She is yearning to serve Krishna personally. But although so many maid servants were there, still she got involved in making butter for Krishna, and that too early in the morning, because the whole day she is packed with other services for evening Diwali preparation. So this Mother Yashoda's desire to finish off this service early in the morning and be ready for the upcoming services is a time management technique she is teaching through this principle, that a devotee also should try to get their basic services done so that he can be always available for the other services which may come up for the whole day. And then she is starting churning butter. But again, what she is doing? Yani yaniha gitani tad bala charitani cha dadi nirmante kale smaranti tani agayata. What she is doing? She is singing the glories of Krishna, the pastimes which he has performed in the previous so many years in his childhood. She has composed nice, beautiful songs out of it, and she is trying to be absorbed while doing a service by singing those glories. Now this is a principle she is teaching about how we can increase the quality of our consciousness, quality management, quality control. While churning, she is singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. The same principle was also taught to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was doing Gundicha Marjan. In the Gundicha Marjanam Leela, he engaged all the devotees who were involved in the cleaning of the temple to chant the names of the Supreme Lord. So there was kolahal, there was huge noise of the sound of the names of Krishna being chanted there while they all were cleaning different aspects of the temple. The same principle is also taught here. And then gradually, when Krishna hears on his bed the beautiful synchronized sounds of her bangles, her earrings, her waist belt, the churning rod and the buttermilk which is being churned, Krishna gradually wakes up from his slumber of sleep. He comes to Mother Yashoda, and as soon as the child wakes up, he is hungry, he wants some food. Krishna wants milk. He stands before Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, in one sense, she pauses, but she is not so interested immediately to feed Krishna milk, because she wants to finish that service of churning butter. Then after a moment, Krishna goes and catches hold of the churning rod, emphasizing that, I am here, I need your milk, I need your attention, your love and care. So Mother Yashoda is teaching here how to satisfy Krishna's hunger here in this case, but actually Krishna's hunger for mother's love. And also Mother Yashoda also wants to satisfy her desire of loving Krishna by feeding him milk. This is how she puts him in her lap. So here Mother Yashoda is teaching about desire management. How, what kind of desires we should have, because the way we desire, Krishna also reciprocates to fulfill those desires. So desire management is another aspect she is teaching through this. So Krishna is drinking milk, and we know that Krishna's desire to drink milk is unlimited. So is mother's love, which is also unlimited to feed him milk. So there's a mutual challenge between both of them. She is trying to feed more and more milk as there is a need from Krishna's side. And the other section in the kitchen, there is milk which is boiling over, because that milk is thinking that if Krishna is satisfied with mother's milk, what is my fulfillment of this existence? Let me kill myself. So the milk attempts to commit suicide, and mother could smell that the milk is boiling over. And while she is smelling that, she is also thinking about Krishna. But she is bound, she is caught up between two services, whether to feed milk personally to Krishna or to take care of the milk which is boiling over on the stove. So here she is teaching about priority management, how we should prioritize between two important services which we encounter at a given point of time. There she takes care of certain aspects that how we can prioritize things. The first thing she was thinking is about the product which has to be set a priority. So she thought her milk is still in her body. Whenever she feels, she can feed Krishna. But the milk which is there on the stove, that is limited. Her love, her milk is unlimited. So if that milk gets spoiled, there will not be anything available for making sweets, which will again please Krishna in the daytime. In the morning he is asking for milk, but after some time he will ask for sweets. He will ask for some kheer also, sandesh, barfi, rasgulla. So many sweets are needed to be made for him. So if that milk is spoiled, nothing will be there for my son. This milk is always available. Whenever I want, I can take him on his lap and I can feed him. So based on this, she prioritized that I can feed milk later. So she puts Krishna down and she rushes to the kitchen to take care of the milk which is boiling over there. Now Krishna is upset because being ignored. He is angry also, Mother Yashoda. And out of his transcendental anger, what does Krishna do? He takes a small pebble and he breaks the pot. And there is a mess of all that buttermilk spread all across. And Krishna is now in difficulty that how he can escape from this place. And he is gradually hearing some sound of mother walking. Her ankle belts, the noise. He could hear that sound that she is approaching this room where churning has happened. And now Krishna is thinking that how will I escape from here? I am completely in between this buttermilk spread over all across in the room. But the sound of those ankle bells are increasing. So now he has to take care of it. So Krishna, being frightened, he gradually walks over that buttermilk. He goes to the other room, goes to the storeroom. And because his anger is not yet cooled down, what he does? He breaks all the pots which are there in that room also. And then he somehow gets one small pot of butter. And then he thinks, if I go out, there will be so many Brajavasis across. So in front of everyone, she may not scold me or punish me to that extent which she can do inside the house. So let me escape from the house. So he escapes out into the courtyard, where now Mother Yashoda may come and may punish him, but the intensity of that punishment may not be so much. He is thinking that way. And Mother Yashoda, she comes to this room, she sees the whole mess. She follows the footsteps of Krishna over the buttermilk. She reaches to the storeroom. She is shocked to see the mess he has created in the storeroom. Now she is thinking that if I leave my child like this, the whole day he will perform so many mischievous acts. And the coward friends may also join him. The monkeys will also join him, and they all will create a royal mess for the whole day, and all my preparations for Diwali will be still pending and will go in vain. Thinking that, she took a small stick and she started moving to the courtyard. In the courtyard, Krishna found a nice seating arrangement on the ulukala, the ukal, the grinding motor, and is feeding butter to all the monkeys which were there. So Mother is coming from behind with the stick. She is holding the stick under her shawl so that there is no noise and it can't be seen also. So all the monkeys who were enjoying the butter immediately flew at an instant from there. So then they saw Mother Yashoda. They tried to give some indication to Krishna, but Krishna could understand that. Krishna was thinking it was their playful pastimes. But suddenly he sees there is a big shadow over him. And when he turns back, he sees Mother Yashoda is behind. And the stick is there. So within a fraction of a second, what Krishna does? He flees. He jumps over the mortar and he flees. Mother Yashoda is thinking that I have to bind Krishna today, catch him, discipline him so that he doesn't do any other mischievous activities for the day. Or else, the whole mood of the festival of Deepavali will be spoiled. So, this aspect which Mother Yashoda is teaching us is about disaster management. So, she is determined to catch Krishna. But before that, the aspect O of Yashoda is she is very cautious about how she can discipline Krishna. Although she came towards Krishna, Krishna was very much frightened, fearful about how she is going to punish him. So that is why Mother Yashoda is not expressing her anger on Krishna immediately. She is just cool, but she wants to catch him and discipline him for the day. So this is strategic management. She is trying to use a proper strategy that how jaise bolte na saap bhi mar jaye laathi bhi na toote. So she wants to discipline Krishna still. Nothing should happen to change his consciousness. And then Mother Yashoda now is running behind Krishna, and finally she catches hold of Krishna, because Krishna sees that Mother is too tired. Now I need to help her. So there are different Shaktis of the Supreme Lord which are enacting this whole pastime. We'll come back to that a little later. So Mother Yashoda has caught Krishna, and there is some conversation happening between the both. Mother is asking, why did you break that pot? Krishna tells that I didn't break that pot. So mother says, then who was the one who was feeding butter to the monkeys? Krishna says that the one who is owner of that. So by that Krishna is trying to explain that I am the son of Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba is the king of Braj. So everything which belongs to Nanda Baba is my belonging. So mere baap ka makkhan hai, main khila raha tha. That is how he meant. And then Mother Yashoda becomes a little mild and she asks him, tell me why you broke that pot. He says, I didn't break that pot. Your ghagra, which has so many stones and bells across, when you moved swiftly to take care of that milk on the stove, it hit the pot and there was a leakage. So I am not the culprit. The mother asks then, why you ran from there? Bhaga kyun tum? तुमने अगर चोर नहीं की, चोरी नहीं की तो भागा क्यों वहां से? चोर की दाढ़ी में तिनका है ना? So Krishna says that when I heard your ankle bells sound, I felt that you are coming and you will chastise me as usual, thinking that I am the culprit. Because whenever there is a robbery in any Brajwasi's house with respect to butter or milk products, you think that I am the thief. तो अभी ये mess हुआ तो आप सोचेंगे कि मैंने किया है. So in that anticipation I ran from this place. So this kind of sweet conversations are happening where Mother Yashoda is just trying to distract Krishna's attention from that subtle fear which he is carrying in his mind. Then Mother Yashoda tells him that you are just behaving like a monkey, nothing else. Sitting with them, playing around with them, feeding them butter. You are all activities like a monkey. So Krishna is saying, okay, I'll go back to the forest with them. I'll play with them. I'll stay with them. I don't need you. So when Krishna tells this, Mother Yashoda develops a strong fear inside that he may run away from here and go back to the forest with these monkeys. He'll mess around there. If any wild animals, they come attack him, my child will be in danger. So now I cannot allow him to even leave this place. Then she thinks that I should catch hold of and I should try to bind him somewhere here in the campus. This is how she is tackling the disaster management. She tries to bind Krishna. But if she goes to bind Krishna with a rope, she has to leave Krishna somewhere or she has to drag him with her. So immediately she thinks of removing her ribbon and she tries to bind Krishna with that. And she is trying hard with all the ropes of Nanda Bhavan, all the ropes of all the collective Brajwasis houses. Still there are always two fingers too short. With Acharyas, I've been explaining about this two fingers as devotee's endeavor and Krishna's kripa, compassion. So there are, as I mentioned, there are few shaktis which are enacting in this whole thing, whole pastime. The first one was Krishna wanted to enact this pastime today on the day of Diwali. So the Leela Shakti came in control. And then Krishna was in anger, so he wanted to teach mother a lesson. So he had, this is a shakti called Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti decides that I will do some mess today. And Mother Yashoda's Satya Sankalpa Shakti says that I will bind Krishna today. And that is the tug of war between both. And when Mother is trying to bind Krishna, Krishna's waste is increasing unlimitedly. And that is the Vibhuti Shakti of the Lord, where the waste expands to many universes because she is falling short of two fingers always. And finally when he sees that Mother is completely exhausted, she is wet out of all the perspiration all throughout. Now he tries to shower his compassion on mother. That is his Kripa Shakti. And he allows to be bound. So, Shubhulas Pruha has written this book and he mentions there that when Mother Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna, there is a very small hand which appears there with a ribbon. She takes that ribbon, she attaches that ribbon and Krishna is bound. So that small hand was the hand of Srimati Radharani. So we have Bhagwan, we have Bhakta, but in between is the personification of Bhakti, the goddess of devotion, that is Srimati Radharani. So until unless a devotee connects to Srimati Radharani and then approaches Krishna, there is no way that a Bhakta can approach Bhagwan directly. Here also we see that Srimati Radharani is offering every petal as a monument of a devotee's devotion to Krishna and requesting Krishna that please accept this devotee. He is very dear to me and he is more better devotee than me. So, if we want to bind Krishna in our heart, we need to have the blessings of Srimati Radharani. So, Krishna is seeing this perspiration, her exhaustion, and that is why Kripaya Asita Swabandhane. At the end, he surrenders and Krishna is bound. So, this last aspect is affection of mother towards Krishna to discipline him so that he don't get into some kind of trouble for which she is trying to bind Krishna hellbound. So the acharyas also mention and Bhagavatam also speaks that Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj that the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute that he comes under the control of his devotees. And this fortune is not even attained by Brahma, Shiva. Nenam virinchana bhavo na shri api anga samshaya. Even Lakshmi Devi is also not receiving this mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. She is able to bind Krishna. Lakshmi Devi is still doing tapasya in Kamyavan. So we see that this month-long celebration of Damodar Leela is a deep, loving, emotional exchange between a devotee and the Supreme Lord. We all are repeating this prayer every day, morning and evening, of Satyavrata Muni, where he speaks that Varam Deva Moksham Na Moksham Vadhimva. A devotee is not desiring for any kind of liberation, any kind of boon, but his only desire is that he could bind that sweet Lord Damodar into their heart. So let us all offer a sincere prayer to Lord Damodar that one day he can become our Ishtadev, he can become our worshipable object whom we can invoke in our heart and give a residence in our heart so that all these beautiful pastimes of the Lord can be very enchanting and which are very charming can be our one-pointed focus of our meditation and one day gradually we can attain the supreme lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Nitai Gaur Premanande Shri Shri Radha Damodar Bhagwan ki.